Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 1, it says simply, let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love continue. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day and your blessings upon us in the past week. We thank you, Father, for your help, your touch upon our lives, for answered prayers. We thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for putting us together here in Olmsted Baptist Church. We thank you for this morning, this time, this day that you've made for us to meet together to worship you. We thank you, Father, for each one that's here. Lord, they were convicted to come, and we thank you for that. And we pray, Father, that you'd help us, that we would continue to worship you in spirit and truth. Thank you for the way you've blessed already the brethren and each one in the classes as they brought forth your word and the prayers unto you and the songs unto you. Lord, we praise your name and we lift up your name and we glorify you for all things. And we thank you, Father, that you've shown us that we need to do so and we can do so and for the privilege that it is to worship you and praise your name. We pray, Father, for those that are here with us even this morning without Christ, Lord, that they see their condition and their need, that they're foreigners, that they're not fellow citizens with the saints, but they're away from you. They don't have a place with you. And we pray, Father, that you would show them their need, their sin, and show them Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, that you would save. And yet, Lord, you might be pleased even to save them and add them to this church. Lord, they might come to you in repentance and faith. Father, we pray that you would work. Help now, we pray, as we look into your word and worship you. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. My understanding is that for Sunday morning services, there's not really an urgency to go ahead and get done with the services. I understand they lasted quite a long time last week. So I've got quite a few notes here, and we'll just take our time going through those and enjoy ourselves. Oh, yeah. I've got it on Brother Doug for a while, don't I? That's good. Let brotherly love continue. When we take a look at this word, let brotherly love, we take a look at it. Did you know that the word Philadelphia is a Greek word? Philadelphia, a city in our own country, the city of brotherly love. And that's what this word is. It speaks about fraternal affection. There is love and kindness one towards another. The love of brethren. And that needs to continue. I mean, the Lord Jesus has loved us so. Dare we not love one another? Indeed, we should love one another as our Lord has loved us. Let brotherly love continue. It's not those three words that are related to agape love, agapeto, agapetos, and agape, but that is indeed implied. Our love that we have one for another is because of Christ and his love for us. He gave himself for us, and well, we should be willing to give of ourselves one for another, shouldn't we? We should. The Lord, what the Lord did and endured for us is a great thing. In John chapter 15, and considering this thought, let's take a look here what the Lord Jesus Christ, he said it to his disciples before his crucifixion and death and burial and resurrection. And I find this interesting. The Lord showed me something here that I hadn't seen before in these verses and some others that we'll get to. But here, the Lord Jesus Christ does this. He says this. And I believe he not only says it to the apostles and to those members of that first church that he had built during his ministry, but indeed I believe he says it to us, to you and me, who are his children and indeed his saints in his local New Testament Baptist churches. Listen to what he says here in John 15, 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends. The Lord Jesus says there to those brethren, some 2,000 years ago or so, he says, you're my friends. Not my servants, but you're my friends. It's a great thing to be called a friend of Jesus. That he has done this toward them. They've called him rabbi. They've called him master, and indeed he is. He's their savior. Peter's testified to it. John testifies to it as he writes. He is the Christ. He's the only begotten Son of God that's come into the world. And he calls us friends. He says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, as Jesus has for us. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you, a qualifier. You show you're my friend by obeying me. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. I've told you the whole thing. I've told you all about it. Notice, he called them friends before he completed his gospel. Hang on to that. He called them his friends. He calls us his friends before he completed his gospel. In Matthew chapter 28, let's take a look over here. Matthew chapter 28, after the Lord has risen from the grave, and he has appeared to his disciples, it says in verse number 10, listen to this. Then said Jesus unto them, as he appeared unto them, he says, all hail. They come and they hold him by the feet and worship him. That's a good place for us, at the feet of Jesus. In this day of pride and self-sufficiency and self-will, we do well to worship at the feet of Jesus. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. After the completing of his gospel, his death, burial, and resurrection for his people, for sinners, so that sinners could be made saints, so that sinners like you and me could be saved, you know what he calls us after the completion of his gospel? Not only does he call us friends, he calls us brethren. Brethren. It's a great thing to be called a friend by Jesus, but I tell you, indeed, it's a greater and more wonderful thing to be called the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to get a hold of that. We know scriptures, and I've not referred to them in this message, but we know those scriptures that tell us we've been made a joint heir with Christ. We've been adopted into the family, and we've been adopted, and not only have we been adopted, we have an inheritance. Not adopted, but excluded from the inheritance. But we've been adopted full well. We can never be what Jesus is as our Savior and what he accomplished and did. But I dare say this, the distinction of the Lord Jesus Christ being the only begotten Son of God and being the Savior and what he did, aside from those things that makes him exclusive, I tell you what, we've got everything else. Think about it. There's no second class, kinship in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're brethren. Brethren. This word brethren is in the Greek adelphos, okay? And I don't tell you those things just to try to impress you in that. I really want to try to us to get something from it. Adelphos is the Greek word. And what this word Delphos is talking about, the womb. And when I first looked at this word, you know, we take that word or that prefix A, and it generally, at least in English and the way we use it, and in the Greek also, I think that word A can mean not, okay? But this word A is not talking about not, okay, or anti. The Delphos meaning the womb, A Delphos is the word here for brethren, okay? Okay? It's talking about first. We are the first brethren of the Lord. You get that? We have been born not of the same womb, but we have been born of the same Spirit. The same spirit that was within the Lord Jesus Christ as a man, and the same spirit that is part of the Godhead, we've been born of that. You can't get any closer to God, brothers and sisters. Sinner, that's what you need. You need the Spirit of God within by Jesus Christ. We're not up here close to God, having been brought from a long, long way away and been brought up here close to God. We're brought up here right with God. Brethren, brethren, not born of the same womb, but born of the same Spirit. We are eternally family. Eternally. You're saved. I'm saved. The Lord has saved our souls. We are brethren eternally. It's never going to end. It's never going to be going to come to an end. We have the same Father. We don't have the same mother, but we've got the same Father. And it's a blessing indeed. 1 John chapter 3, John writes, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." He said, take a look at it. Muse about it. Meditate on it a bit, that we should be called the sons of God. Now that's love. For Jim Duke to be made a son of God. For you that are here and saved to be made a son of God, behold, look at that love. That I that was a hater of God and far from him was made a son of God by Jesus Christ. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. What does the world think about you? And we're to be found in good, godly conversation. We're to be a help to our neighbor and a lover of our neighbor indeed. But when it comes down to the doctrine of the Lord and what the old doctrine of this world is, they clash. I'm not looking to be disliked. But it'll happen when it comes down to the things of the Lord. This whole world is against the Lord and the way of the Lord. And there's going to be a clash. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Ladies, you're not being left out. Okay? This doesn't exclude you. But our sisters that are saved, our Lord, our Heavenly Father, calls us all sons. That's the way God works. That's what he has done. He called them brethren. After he completed his gospel. It's great to be called a friend of the Lord. It's greater and more wonderful to be called the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 13, take a look over here. The Lord Jesus Christ gives us commandment and instruction here about this relationship. Brethren, we're brethren. In John 13, verse number 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Now this word is relative to that agape love. Agapeo is the word. It's talking about self-sacrificing love. Not love that just comes from the mouth, but love with do attached to it. You know what I mean? With legs, with doing. Not just saying, but doing. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. And here's the standard, as I have loved you. So I'm to love you, my brother, my sister in Christ. We are to love one another, brethren, the sons of God. We're to love one another the way Jesus has loved us. That's the way we're to love. That's the way that we are to love. That ye love one another as I have loved you. And that ye also love one another. Let's read that again. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Double emphasis upon that. The standard of how much we are to love is as Jesus has loved us. He gave his life for us, didn't he? And then he says in verse number 35, By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. You know, the world's going to see a difference when the world sees our love one towards another. Is our care one for another? Is our admonition of one another? Is our saluting of one another the same at church services as it is out in the world? It should be. We're brethren. We're not just brethren on Sundays and on Wednesdays and when we have special services. But we're brethren by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, forever. And well, we should love one another as our Lord has loved us. In the church, there is to be care and compassion one for another. 1 Corinthians 12:26. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. I'm not to be jealous of you. I'm not to begrudge you the blessing or the touch or the help of the Lord upon you. We need to be careful that we step up before the Lord and say, I want everything you've given my brother or my sister. The Lord may be giving them some hard times too. Amen. We stand before the Lord and his care and his help, his blessing is upon us. And however it is that the Lord blesses you, I need to rejoice in it and praise the Lord for it and one another. And when there's hardship and when there's trial and when there's exercising of faith, I need to be there to support you and pray for you and come up beside you and put my arm around you and be there to help you in any way that I can. That's what Jesus does for us. Are we not praying to our Lord that he would help us often? Well, he loves us that way and he does help, doesn't he? That's the way I'm to love you. That's the way we're to love one another. Amen. Brothers are commanded by Jesus to love one another, and we are brethren indeed in him. You know what? Mark chapter 10. But as it happens, we give each other problems at times, don't we? We do. You that don't particularly like beards, you'll have to suffer with me till it gets warmer. So you might pray for warmer weather, mightn't you? But we get on each other's nerves sometimes. Sometimes we offend. Sometimes we say something without thinking. Sometimes we say things with thinking. We get on each other's nerves. It happens. No excuse, but we're flesh. We're men. Sometimes we just don't see things right. Sometimes we need to grow up. I need to grow up in some things. Yeah, I'm the pastor. I need to grow up in some things. It's that way. In Mark chapter 10, we read here in verse number 35, the scripture says, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, that is Jesus, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? And they said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, we can. And Jesus said unto them, James and John, ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand or on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. Displeased is the word. And Jesus called them unto him and saith unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. That's how you'll know the great one. is the one that ministers. And whosoever you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not, here's the example, came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. You know, sometimes we displease one another. Indignation is a definition of this word. We read over in Matthew chapter 20, this account just gets a little bit worse as we read this one over here in Matthew 20. In Matthew chapter 20, verse number 20, these are brethren. Some of them are siblings physically. They have the same mother and father. But all of them are brethren by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and what Jesus is going to do. Then came to him, Matthew 20, verse 20, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons. These are grown men. You know, there just comes a time that mama needs to quit doing for the son and for the daughter. Oh, we love our children. As our children have become older, I've found myself at many times going, I have to stop myself and let them deal with life. Of course, we're always there to help our children any way we can, but that's part of loving them. But you know what? We don't do well by them if we order their life after they get grown. They may do things that we wouldn't want them to do. And you know what our recourse is? Is a great recourse. Prayer to God Almighty. Amen. But their mama comes with them. These are grown men that have wives and their own families. Their mama comes asking of the Lord Jesus a favor for her sons. Can you see how this scenario, this situation would just grate on their brethren? What's it say? Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him, which was a good thing, and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She saith unto him, grant that these that my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left in thy kingdom. You reckon her and their motive was good? No, I don't think so. And we don't look to rail on them. We can be found in the same situation, can't we? Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. And he said unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I shall be am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation. That's a more direct, stronger word, indignation. Annoyance or anger because we've been treated unfairly. Annoyance, aggravation, or anger because I've just not been done right. Not been done right by their brethren. Do you know what it would mean if James and John would be sitting, with the way men think, with James and John sitting on the left and right hand of the Lord Jesus Christ in his kingdom? Do you know what that would mean for them? That James and John would be over the other 10. So we followed along with him just like you have, James and John. What makes you so special that you should get that or do that? Their hearts and looking on at it may not be necessarily right either. But the point is they were indignant towards them. They thought this is unfair, and they were hot about it. They were troubled about it. It happens. We give each other problems at times. But our Lord says that we need to love one another. When I do wrong, I need to be accountable for the wrong that I do. I'm not saying that we're off the hook in any way. But as we're going to see later in the message, There is an element that we're called to be gracious as our Lord is gracious. And there's a balance in there. Forgiveness among brethren. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, our love for one another, and it's no excuse and no reason for one to ride roughshod over the other. We're in a terrible state, aren't we? We like hardly can't talk about one thing without tempering it with the other aspect, okay? You know, this thing of forgiveness doesn't mean that we should, not any one of us should ride roughshod over the other. But sometimes we just don't get it right, and we don't say good things. We don't say right things. We don't do well. We don't think well. We need to be of a forgiving heart. We need to love one another. You know, it's said of siblings. I never had an earthly sibling. I don't have any earthly siblings. They say that brothers and sisters will fight like cats and dogs till somebody else comes in. And then they're Confederate. Right? Well, we need to behave well, and our conversation needs to be well, okay? But should it not be more so amongst us that we be Confederate? They'll forgive one another in a heartbeat, or they'll take their disagreement, set it aside to fight the common enemy. Amen? And we've been called to a greater thing than that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the scripture says, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust?" One of the problems at the church at Corinth. "And not before the saints?" 1 Corinthians 6, verse 2. "Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge in the smallest matters? Judge not, that you be not judged." Wait a minute. There's other scriptures that have to do with that. We judge things not by what we think, but by what our Lord says. You know why I'm wrong? I'm wrong because the Lord says I'm wrong. Not because you think I'm wrong. You know why you would be wrong in a matter? Not because I think you're wrong, but because of what God says. It's the word of the Lord that is our standard about what's an offense or not, right? And so the judging that we would do and the decisions that we would make even in this life individually as a family and as a church, they should all be based upon the Lord, and indeed the saints will judge the world. And we make judgments now. "Are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters?" Verse number 3. "Know ye not that we shall judge angels?" Yes. "How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church." And he says this kind of tongue in cheek, but to show them about their respect of persons. You want to get serious about taking care of these trifling matters that you've got against one another, that you go all the way to the law? Well, you take that brother or sister that you think is low in your church, and you set them there to figure it out, and whatever they say, you abide by it. Whoa, whoa, whoa. It reveals that we're respecter of persons too. He says, get it straightened out, and get it straightened out to the honor and glory of the Lord. That's the point. "I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. If brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law with one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong?" He said, rather than go to the law to honor your Lord and being saved and a child of the King, just take it on the chin. Just grow up. Be perfect, be mature in the Lord, and take it on the chin. No malice. Don't make them pay. Don't hold the clenched jaw against them. I'm talking about brethren. "Because you go to law with one another, why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren." It's not right what's being done. But rather than take that thing and go to the law, and I thank the Lord we don't have anything like this in our church, but the principle is at hand. When I'm done wrong, when they say something, or my brother or sister says something that troubles me or hurts me or offends me, I can pray to the Lord that they would see it. I can pray to the Lord and ask them, the Lord, to work in their hearts to see it, and the Lord to give me strength just to let it pass. To love my brethren. The Lord's let my sins pass. Well, I mean, he paid for them, but you understand what I'm saying. In Matthew chapter 6, we see the Lord saying, just right along this line, I'm thankful we don't have that kind of trouble. May the Lord keep it from us. Amen. Well, we read there at Corinth, but they had that. They needed to grow up. In Matthew chapter 6, verse number 14, let me get the right book. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 14. Listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ says here on the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6, 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, he's just went over the model prayer, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. I want to be forgiven, don't you? And when it says men, that includes my brethren. What's it say in verse 12? And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I've probably offended my brother and sister in Christ, and they let it pass, and they prayed for me, and I don't even know it. I need to forgive them too, don't I? In Matthew chapter 18, verse number 35, let's read there. Matthew 18, a few chapters over. Brotherly love, let it continue. In Matthew 18, speaking here of the man that couldn't pay his debt and had forgiven it and then went and collected the debt owed him, and he was merciless. Verse 35, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts. Now that's got all the way down to the nitty gritty. Not just in motion, not just in word, not just in behavior, but from the heart. Truly, truly forgive. From the heart. If ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. I don't want the Lord to be merciless towards me. Do you? I enjoy very much the Lord's mercy towards me. Don't you? We need to be like him. In Mark chapter 11, verse 25, and when you stand praying, forgive. That's a good time to forgive while we're praying. You know, it's said, and brethren in the church have said that it's so, and they've reaffirmed it, and it's true. You know, you can't hold a grudge and hold a hard feeling against somebody that you pray for, that the Lord will help and bless and touch and give them good things from God. You can't do it. You can't hate them if you pray for them. I'm talking about getting honest before the Lord and praying that the Lord would help them with the issue at hand, turn their hearts because the Lord can do so, and give them a good blessing of good things and a good spirit and a good conversation and right things. If we pray that to our Lord, we cannot hate them. We cannot. When you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we're reminded of this, forgiveness amongst brethren, a principle that's at hand here, and this applies to our dealing with the world and the world dealing with us, but it also can apply to our brethren along the line of what we read in 1 Corinthians 6. Listen to what the Lord's pleased with. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 19, "For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully." Indignation the brethren had against James and John. That's unfair. Who are you guys to think that? You want to be Lord over us? You want that special position from the Lord, and you got the gall to bring your mama to ask him for it? "For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience sake, conscience towards God, endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you are buffeted for your faults, if I sin, I transgress, and I get a licking for it?" That's just the way it's supposed to work, right? "You shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." That's what Jesus did, right? "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile, deception, lying found in his mouth." When Jesus got squeezed, he still told the truth. When Jesus got pressed, he still told the truth. "Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Lord, you know this thing, and the way I see it, I've been done wrong. Lord, would you work in it and help me and help them and give grace? Who in his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree." He's the one that took the most. Those sins weren't his. But he took them and endured them anyway, didn't he? "Who in his own self bare our sins on his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Forgiveness amongst brethren. And then, what if an offense is at hand and you just can't let it pass? Well, the Lord acknowledges that that could be. Amen. The Lord says there just might be something that you just can't let pass, that I can't let pass. And so he accommodates us in that, doesn't he? And he gives us a good thing. In Matthew 18, verse 15, he is talked about the 100 sheep and how the Lord went out and got the one and left the 99 in the fold. Was that valuable? And he says in verse 15 of Matthew 18, "Moreover," in addition to that, that's how valuable the sheep are to our Lord. And if you are that valuable to him, well, you should be valuable to me. Amen? As a brother in Christ. If you're that valuable to our Lord, well, you should be that valuable to me. I should pursue great care in my relationship with you. In verse 15, it says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee," and you just can't let it pass, you just can't forgive it, but you need to seek to straighten it out, to get it right. Listen to the wording here. "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, tell it to everybody else in the church, and maybe they'll talk to him and straighten him out." Isn't that what it says? Tell your psychiatrist. Tell your psychologist. Tell your parents. Tell your mayor. Tell people that are not even members of the church. Tell them. That'll straighten it out. It's not what the Lord says. "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee," it's going to happen. It did to the apostles, didn't it? "Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone." Alone. Alone. Not anybody else. But alone. As pastor, being pastor here, and you know it, and I'm not one to drag up the past, but it amazes me how it is that as pastor, I would go to try to deal with a point or an issue with someone, and then I didn't tell about it. But then in a week or so, or even days, everybody knows about it. That's not right, is it? Alone. I didn't tell it. And I shouldn't tell it. It says here, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Listen to what the Lord Jesus says. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Gained thy brother. Just like siblings can't undo being physical siblings in this life. And then when there is an assault from the outside, they get confederate and come together. Well, we should be as brethren in the Lord. But you know what? If you can't take it from there, if you can't handle it from there, let's throw this in here. Verse 22, verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven, 490, if you want the math. I used to have that in another Bible, how many minutes that was. But if you can't forgive it and let it pass, verse 16, but if we will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. If you're called upon to be a witness, keep your mouth shut. And maybe it can get reconciled that way. Because see, the idea there is that the witnesses will take the word of God and say, this is right, this is wrong. This is the way it ought to be. But if you can't let it pass from there, if I can't let it pass from there, then verse 17, the Lord Jesus, words from his own mouth, and if he shall neglect to hear them, see that, hear them, the witnesses, maybe the one that's accusing of the offense is the one that's guilty. The witnesses will reckon and render what's right from the word of God. But if you neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if you neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Because when it gets down there to the church saying, it's time to listen to the church, and what the church says goes. It's bound in heaven. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. That's a church authority. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two shall agree on earth as touching anything, and they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. If we just can't let it pass, our Lord has given us instruction about how to deal with it. Let brotherly love continue. In Ephesians chapter 4, let's read. Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 32, may we make this a motto, one of the mottos and one of the guiding points of our life relative to our brothers and sisters in Christ and here in the church. That kinship, that fellowship that we have because of Christ. In verse number 32 of Ephesians 4, and be ye kind one to another. Useful. Easy. Gracious. That word kind means. One to another. Tenderhearted, sympathetic, compassionate, compassion, pitiful, soft. Let us be soft-hearted towards our brethren, not to the exclusion of what the Lord says, but to desire and pursue good things for one another. Forgiving one another. I think we understand about that, don't we? To grant as a favor. You know what's found in that word, forgiving? We like this word, and well we should. It's a wonderful word. Grace. I mentioned earlier about mercy. We enjoy the mercy of the Lord, don't we? We sure enjoy His grace too, don't we? And in forgiving our brothers and sisters in Christ, forgiving even our neighbor, we can be gracious. Gracious. Grace. Me getting what I don't deserve. Gracious. Gracious. That word gracious is wrapped up in that word forgiving. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Don't forget this. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Grace. Let us be gracious one towards another. Let us be forgiving of one another. Let us be prayerful about our conflicts and our offenses. Let us pray that the Lord would help us one another. We be knit together in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and this fellowship that we have because of His blood, this kinship that we have of His blood. May we represent His graciousness towards us as we are gracious one toward another. And if we take up, it has to be that we have to take up His directive that we read there, what, in Matthew 18? May we abide by it. May I abide by it. However far that would go. Let brotherly love continue. I want to sing a song here. Brother Joe and Sister Kathy Martinez is a song that they sing. And it was just a real blessing to be at the fellowship meeting Friday. And I encourage you, go to those if you can at all. Because we had sweet fellowship there that night. We have sweet fellowship today, haven't we? Look forward to that as we go on. Listen. Whenever saints of God gather in His name, there is peace, there is love, there is joy. All the cares of this life, they are all laid aside so that Jesus can be glorified. A taste of heaven, heaven, when Jesus is glorified. A taste of heaven, heaven, when Jesus is on our mind. Whenever saints of God gather round His throne, there is power, there is grace divine. What we ask in His name, we receive just the same, so that Jesus can be glorified. A taste of heaven, heaven, when Jesus is glorified. A taste of heaven, heaven, when Jesus is on our mind. Whenever saints of God gather round His word, the true manna, the water of life, every promise secure, every hope will endure, so that Jesus can be glorified. A taste of heaven, heaven, when Jesus is glorified. A taste of heaven, heaven, when Jesus is on our mind. Remember our salvation and our calling by the Lord Jesus Christ, our being saved by Him and being added to this church here at Olmsted Baptist Church, all of this is to be under the honor and glory and praise of the Lord. Indeed, we've been rescued and we benefit from it, don't we? But it's all that we might honor and praise and glorify our Lord. When I'm offended and I forgive, I honor and glorify my Lord. When you're offended and you forgive, we honor and glorify our Lord. When we take those steps that the Lord's given us to try to gain our brother because we just can't let it pass, when we follow and obey our Lord in those steps, we honor and glorify our Lord. See? Because we obey. We honor Him. We acknowledge Him that the way He gives is right. And so, brethren, sisters, that's not leaving you out. Brethren, may we be enjoined together in this fellowship. Let brotherly love continue.